Today we are going to conclude the Overcomers segment of our Keeping It Real sermon series from Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Next week we'll go back to 1st, 2nd and 3rd John and pick up from where we left off before we took the detour. So far, we have learned a few lessons about the rewards that Jesus promised to overcomers. First, from the lost and loveless church at Ephesus, the persecuted, suffering, and triumphant church at Smyrna, as well as the compromising and worldly church at Pergamum. We have also gleaned from the corrupt, the idolatrous church at Thyatira, the apathetic and dead church at Sardis, and finally from the faithful church at Philadelphia that kept the faith even in tough times. But today we are going to explore the promised rewards to overcomers at Laodicea, the weak and lukewarm church, in a message entitled The Overcomers, Part 6, from Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. The speaker in our text identifies himself as Jesus, who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. These titles emphasize the Lord's faithfulness, sovereignty, and power to bring all things to their proper completion. So if you found Revelation chapter 3, please rise to your feet in honor of the reading of God's word. The New International Version, beginning to read at verse 14, says, "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." Verse 17. "You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and I discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, overcomers, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. Let's pray. Eternal God in heaven, we come before you one more time to ask for your presence, to be with us as we sit here to listen to your word. Our prayer is that as we look intently into your word, You will cast light on our text. Illuminate it for our understanding. Help us to see revelation and to hear the gentle voice of the Spirit. We ask that, Lord, you will help us to apply this word in our lives in one way or the other. Help us to be obedient and submissive to the work of the Spirit in our lives as we listen to this word. We thank you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we have prayed, and somebody in the house said amen. Thank you. You may be seated. From 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, we know that overcomers are marked by faith. They are marked by love. And they are also marked by obedience. Obedience to the word of God and his commandments. But in five of the seven churches we've looked at so far, believers lost their first love, tolerated false teaching. Some were corrupt, negligent, and they were disobedient to Christ. And they were pronounced spiritually dead by the Lord himself, while others were lukewarm in the faith, and others were worldly. Yet in every one of these churches, there remained a faithful remnant of overcomers. These overcomers held on to their faith, continued in love, and remained obedient to God in the midst of churches that were sleeping and compromising their faith. Laodicea was a weak, lukewarm church, but it too had overcomers. Now, the greatest threat that the early church faced was persecution, mostly from the Jewish religious establishment and the Roman Empire authorities who had occupied their land. They faced discrimination and economic sanctions in the marketplace. They were taken from their homes, beaten, stoned, and imprisoned for their faith in Christ. Many were burned at the stake, fed to lions, or even crucified. But one of the greatest threat to the early church was persecution. It seems one of the greatest threats to the church today is lukewarmness, which means neither hot nor cold, as well as apathy to the things of God, which means uncaring, uninterested, and unresponsive. I don't care, none of my business kind of attitudes. Someone once said, while the early church lived sacrificial lives, it seems many Christians today are living superficial lives, which means phony, shallow, insincere, which according to Jesus is lukewarm Christianity, neither cold nor hot. In our text, Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22, Jesus confronts the church at Laodicea about lukewarmness. Which brings us to our first point. Jesus condemns lukewarm Christianity. Therefore, don't be a lukewarm Christian. Don't be a lukewarm Christian. Because Jesus is going to condemn you. Verses 14 to 15 of our text says, says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. This is Jesus himself talking through the letter that John wrote to the churches. Verse 15 says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. Wish that you were one or the other. You see, the church at Laodicea was the only church for which the Lord had no commendations. Jesus had nothing good to say about this church, only condemnation. The church had become as bland as the lukewarm water that came into the city. The image of the Laodiceans being neither cold nor hot has been understood to mean they lacked spiritual passion. They lacked vigor and zeal for the Lord. They were half-hearted in their commitment to Christ. They were nominal Christians. Christians in name only. They did not live the talk. They professed to be Christians, but their lives had nothing to do with what it means to be a follower of Christ, to be a child of God. They were Christians in name only. It was just a label. Lukewarm, nominal Christians do not bear any spiritual fruit. Remember how Jesus said, if you don't bear fruit, you are like a branch that will be cut off and thrown into the fire. But in order for us to bear much fruit, actually, we ought to be pruned. And that's not pleasant. And from time to time, Jesus will prune our lives so we can bear much fruit in our lives. So if you are not bearing much fruit in your life today, get ready for the pruning of the Lord in your life. Lukewarm Christians honor God with their lips only. Their heart is far from God. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. That's Jesus talking in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. This means that lukewarm Christians engage in counterfeit worship. They talk about God and sing about God, but in their hearts, there is no genuine love and affection for God. Lukewarm Christians deny Christ in their actions. Just as in Titus chapter 1, verse 16, in the New King James, the Bible says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. What does the Lord feel about lukewarmness or nominal Christianity? He tells us in verse 16, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And verse 17 asserts, because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and you don't realize that you are wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. The Laodiceans were self-deceived. They truly believed the Lord was satisfied with their lukewarm Christianity, their lukewarm nominal Christianity. They assumed that material blessings are a sign of right standing with God. But Jesus says because of their pride and self-sufficiency, they couldn't even see the true nature of their spiritual condition. And that is the tragedy of life. That is the greatest tragedy in life. Jesus described the condition of the church at the time as wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And these are not non-believers. We're talking about people that profess to follow Jesus. And this was a sharp rebuke to them by Jesus our Lord. Now, let me illustrate this. How many have heard about the boiling frog analogy? By show of hands. Thank you. Thank you so much. The boiling frog is a legend describing a frog being slowly boiled alive. The premise is that if a frog is put suddenly into boiling water, it will jump out. It will hop out. But if the frog is put in tepid water, which is then brought to a boil slowly, it will not perceive the danger and will be cooked to death. While the hypothesis of the story may not provide empirical scientific evidence, the allegory is a good metaphor for how we can easily become lukewarm and worldly without even realizing it. Jesus has to remind us often that we have lost our first love and are gradually drifting away from our faith into the abyss. Since we need to honestly search our hearts, we must ask ourselves those hard questions we never seem to ask. Am I spiritually wretched? Am I miserable? Am I poor? Am I blind? Am I naked? Am I lukewarm? Am I spiritually dead? Am I drifting into lukewarmness, nominal Christianity? Do my works reflect my passion for the Lord? After he gave his condemnation to the Laodicean church for their lukewarm, nominal Christianity, Jesus corrects, counsels, and calls the church to repent of the sin of lukewarmness. You see, the church at Laodicea had become apathetic in their love for Christ. They were allowing the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other worldly things to come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. As in Mark chapter 4, verse 19, in the parable of the sower. Christ called them out and he says, repent and live zealously for him. So verses 18 to 19 of our text says, so I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also, buy white garments from me so you will not be ashamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Be diligent and turn away from your indifference and apathy. since we serve a loving, forgiving, and merciful Savior who disciplines us because He loves us, He always offers a solution, a remedy for our spiritual boredom and wretchedness. In these verses, the Lord counsels the Laodiceans to do three things to correct their lukewarmness and nominal Christianity. First, Jesus counsels them to buy from Him gold that has been purified by fire so they could be rich. Refined gold in the scriptures is always symbolic of purifying one's life by the removal of sin and compromise in your life. One of the characteristics of nominal Christianity is that one becomes more tolerant of sin, both in their lives and the lives of others. Secondly, Jesus counsels the Laodiceans to buy from Him white garments so that they may not be ashamed by their nakedness. The white garments represent the righteousness of Christ, the holiness of God. And in saying the righteousness of Christ, we need to realize that this is the imputed righteousness of Christ, which you cannot earn by doing good works. This is the righteousness you receive when you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. So only true Christians can be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And that is done by grace through faith in Jesus. Christ is tenderly warning the Laodiceans that unless they clothe themselves with a white garment of His righteousness, they stand condemned. Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6 says, "The righteousness of man is as filthy rags before God." Now here's a question for you. Is your righteousness as filthy rags before God today? I'll let you answer that question in your heart before God. And if you are found wanting, you know what to do. Repent. Believe in the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. Now, if you are living a half-hearted, half-committed, lukewarm, nominal, filthy Christian life, you are walking on dangerous ground because Christ will spit you out of His mouth. Thirdly, Jesus counsels the Laodicean church to buy eye ointment called salve from Him so they could see their true condition, because they were so blind to their arrogance, so blind to their true spiritual condition. And Jesus is about to open up their eyes so they can see themselves for who they really are before God. When Jesus looked inside the hearts of the Laodicean Christians, He saw a sickening lukewarmness. He saw believers whose spiritual condition was very critical, but they didn't even realize it. That is one of the characteristics of a lukewarm Christian. But Jesus can open our spiritual eyes to see our need for Him if we let Him. He will not force you, but if you let Him, He can reignite our zeal for God if we come to Him and repent. which brings us to our final point. Jesus promises the overcomers fellowship and the reward of reigning with him on the throne. Jesus promises the overcomers fellowship and the reward of reigning with him on the throne. Look at verses 20 to 22 of our text. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious, overcomers, will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Understanding so we can respond to what the Spirit is saying through this text. We have always pictured this scene as the Lord knocking on the heart door of non-believers, desiring to get into their lives. While the Lord certainly desires to come into the heart of everyone who is lost, the context of this passage paints an entirely different picture. You see, the door in verse 20 actually symbolizes the heart of a lukewarm, nominal Christian who has never allowed the Lord to have full control of his or her life. That knock on the door is the Lord calling you and me away from lukewarmness, half-hearted relationship with him, into a passionate, vibrant, life-giving, life-changing, on fire for God relationship with him. Christ promised a reward to the person who would overcome. In this context, it appears that the overcomer was the individual in the Laodicean church who overcame the temptation of remaining lukewarm by opening the door of their heart to Jesus. The reward that Christ promised to this overcomer was the future privilege of sitting with him on his throne, just as the Father granted Christ the privilege of sitting with him on his throne, which means that we shall reign with him as co-heirs in his kingdom. We are no longer only servants, Jesus says. He calls us friends because we are co-heirs with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we shall reign with him in his kingdom at the end of the age. Now, here's my conclusion. Where does this message find the church, the body of Christ? Because over time, lukewarmness has been creeping into the body of Christ and has dragged many Christians into such a spiritual stupor and boredom that we don't even realize that the glory of the Lord has departed. Ichabod. Not the kabod, which means the presence of God, but Ichabod, which means the glory of the Lord has departed. So we need the abiding presence of God, not Ichabod, the departed presence of God. But do we know it? Do we even realize that the glory of the Lord has left because of our compromise and worldliness in the church? The church, unfortunately, has settled on our dregs, left with a form of godliness only, but denying the power thereof. Jesus tells us there is only one remedy, and that is to repent. Forsake lukewarm Christianity and recapture the lost love, the passion, and the zeal of God. Where does this message find you as an individual, as a person? Are you saved by grace through faith in Christ? Are you passionate and committed to the Lord and His work? Or are you indifferent and apathetic toward the things of the Lord? Do you sense the Lord knocking on the door of your heart right now? Has the Lord been knocking on your heart for some time now, calling you into a deeper, meaningful relationship with Him? Is your alarm going off right now? Then do something about it. If you come to the Lord, He will hear your prayer. He will come in and sup with you. He will fellowship with you. And that will change and transform your life. Amen? Let's pray. God, our eternal Father, we thank you for the clarity and power in your word. Our prayer is that you may help us to take this word to heart and to respond positively to it, so that you may allow us to be all you have called us to be. True, courageous, bold followers of Jesus. Revive us again, O Lord. Fill our hearts with love, courage, optimism, and passion. May our hearts be rekindled with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Lord, in these unprecedented times, it's easy to become complacent, lukewarm, and apathetic in our Christian work. But our prayer is that our faith will be rooted, established, and grounded in Christ, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Please help us to live in a way that honors your name, so that we may overcome in all things and gain the promised reward of reigning with Christ on His throne. We thank you, Lord, and we honor you for the eschatological coming kingdom. And help us to be beneficiaries, benefactors, and recipients of that reward, to reign with Christ in His kingdom. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit go before each one of us, because we pray in Jesus' name, and somebody in the house said amen.